How often do you get angry? Now you notice I didn't say, do you get angry, but rather, how often? Have you ever stopped and asked yourself why? Is it because of something that was wrong, that was said or done to me, that I get angry? Furthermore, is God ever angry? And if so, why? We're going to address these questions today in our program, Thoroughly Equipped. And we are going to be considering in particular one passage in the Old Testament that I think addresses both of these. But in particular, more importantly, the second question concerning God.
Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. This is Thoroughly Equipped, drawing water from the wells of salvation, a weekly study of the Bible with Pastor Wojtek from Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra. During the next 30 minutes, we'll bring you solid, in-depth biblical teaching from Scripture and provide you training in how you can get the most from personal and family Bible study. We invite you to get a copy of today's teaching outline by logging on to tefaith.org. TEFaith is short for Thoroughly Equipped Faith. Again, that's tefaith.org. Then open your Bible and study along with Pastor Mike. Also, if you'd like to stay up to date on Thoroughly Equipped events, sign up for our periodic email newsletter, Wells of Salvation. You'll get articles, resource information, a note from Pastor Mike, information about Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra, including our address and service times, and news about any upcoming events. It's very informative. To get our email newsletter, just log on to tefaith.org. That's thoroughlyequippedfaith.org. Now here's Pastor Mike.
Welcome back to Thoroughly Equipped. We're glad that you were able to join us again. And for those of you that have not been with us, what we have been trying to do is to consider and study the Word of God and consider how to both understand and apply what God has said to us through His Word. We have been considering the letter of the Apostle Paul to his son in the faith, Timothy. And while I'm speaking about that, by the way, in studio with me is my son, David. Welcome, David.
Hey, Dan.
And I just wanted to congratulate you. Saturday, you graduated from?
High school.
What are you thinking about that? You like it? Are you glad? Are you?
I praise God.
It's over. All right, very good. So back to our study. So we're looking at a letter between a father in the faith and a son, Paul and Timothy. And we've been considering the statement that he said concerning the use of Scripture, that it's profitable. And in particular, profitable that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that's where we came up with the title of this program. But we've also been considering on not only gaining that information, drawing that truth, but also talking a little bit about how to do it ourselves, you know, on our personal or family devotions and Bible study. And so if you have been with us for the past few weeks and you didn't know it, what we've been trying to do is focus on the principle of context. They say in real estate, let's see if you know it, Dave, the three most important things about real estate are what?
Location, location, location.
Right. And the same thing goes with Bible study. Context, context, context. And so we are preparing to study one particular book, and that is the book of Jonah. But in order to, I think, get the most out of that book, we have to prepare ourselves. And one of the ways to do that is through context. And so we've been looking at this passage of Paul talking about all Scripture, in particular the Old Testament, but all Scripture is profitable. And so in particular, we wanted to look at this word that Paul says about Scripture in the same passage in verse 15 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. He said also that Holy Scripture is able to make you wise to salvation. And so I wanted to focus today upon that phrase, wise unto salvation. Now, Dave, when you think of the word wise, what is wisdom? What is wise?
Doing what is right, not doing what is foolish.
Okay. And is it what's the difference between wisdom and knowledge?
Knowledge is just basic facts and information. Wisdom is taking that knowledge and applying it to practical means.
Okay, so it's putting it into practice, right? So it's a practical application. And so Paul is saying that through the scriptures we are able to take salvation and make it practical, or to come to that salvation. And in particular, we started the program talking about anger, and we talked about our own anger, and then we asked the question, is God angry? And so, what do the scriptures say? Is God ever angry?
Yes.
Oh, okay, that was an easy question. Now, can you back that up with scripture?
I'm not sure if it's in the Proverbs or in the Psalms, but there's a passage that says God is angry with the wicked every day.
That's right. It's in the Psalms.
Okay.
God is angry with the wicked every day. Recently, I talked to a student at Biola, and I asked her this question, and her response was, yes, God's wrath or God's anger is written in many places in the Bible. And so we would agree with that. In our text today, what we're going to look at is Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah writes, and in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. And so Isaiah, he speaks of salvation in relations to the anger of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we consider this particular text, again, we were talking about context. Do you know, we're in chapter 12 of Isaiah, do you know what is it that caused Isaiah to be afraid? It says that you were angry with me. Why was God angry with either Isaiah or the people of God that are receiving this prophecy?
Well, to simply put it, in the beginning of the book, Isaiah speaks of Israel's disobedience to God, not keeping his commandments, and the God, through the word of the prophet Isaiah, speaks concerning Israel and their disobedience, and he says, I will punish you. I will destroy you because of what you've done. Basic, in essence, saying that God is angry with them.
Right, exactly. If you look at the very, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but if you look at the very beginning of Isaiah, he calls heaven and earth to be witnesses. He's bringing charges in verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. And then he begins to describe, if you will, bring charges against Israel. And then in chapter 2, he does bring mercy, or a statement of mercy. Chapter 3, again, back to that charge of judgment. And then again in chapter 5, there you find the woes of Isaiah. Woe unto you, woe unto you. And then in chapter 6, he's confronted with the holy God himself, and he says, woe is me. His own judgment, and then God cleanses his lips and enables him to go on. And so throughout these first few chapters, all the way up through to chapter 11, even chapter 11 as well, you have this judgment and mercy, judgment and mercy, judgment and mercy. And in particular, chapter 11 focuses on the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah, what he would do. And then from verse 11, Isaiah connects the coming of Jesus Christ to the Exodus event, the mercy of God toward Exodus. And now in chapter 12, our text, he is now, if you will, celebrating redemption or salvation that God has wrought, just like God did in Exodus. So he's going to do in that day. And that's the phrase there, in that day you will say. And so in many ways, chapter 12 functions like, what song did Israel sing when they were redeemed out of Israel? Do you remember that?
In Exodus 15, I believe the passage is where it's found. right after the Egyptians were swallowed up by the Red Sea, the first words spoken by Moses and the people were, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider hath he thrown into the sea."
Very good, very good. So there you have the song of Moses celebrating the deliverance of God's people. And so I think in many ways Isaiah chapter 12 is that song, a hymn of praise for deliverance. But the first point that Isaiah makes is, though you were angry with me. And again, the question that we started the program with, does God get angry? And obviously the text says, yes, he does. And one of the questions I also opened the program with was, when I get angry or you get angry. Oh, Dave, do you ever get angry?
Yes.
Do I ever get angry?
Yes.
Yes. Whenever we get angry, why is that? Have you ever stopped and thought about that? Why is it that I just, why is it, for those of you driving on the road right now, and all of a sudden somebody cuts in front of you, you may be very happy and all, and then all of a sudden someone does this foolish act, and now you are angry. Why? Why are you angry? Why all of a sudden this change that occurs that can so easily, so quickly happen? Because why? Have you ever thought about that, Dave?
Yes. In fact, I've confronted some of those people on the road myself. And yes, I have gotten angry in my mind, saying, why did you do this to me? And as I stop and think about it, the reason why I respond in the like manner is most often because they wronged my personal space. That's usually one of the ideas that comes into my mind when someone cuts in front of me.
Okay. So as I've been thinking about it as well, how often does anger arise because of a right and a wrong? In other words, this person did something wrong, and so now I'm angry. So you're talking about personal space. Yeah, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You have this concept or this thinking that I should have so many feet, and the laws say such and such. I've been to the Philippines, and the number of feet between cars in Manila, what is expected is a whole lot less than here in the U.S. If you were to try to drive in the U.S. like they do in Manila in the Philippines, you would have road rage everywhere because our understanding what is right and wrong concerning personal space is different and what is safe and what is not. Well, also because we're driving much faster as well as they are. But anyways, getting off of that, so the idea is that something was wrong. Some standard was broken. And so the temptation is that I need to make it right.
Mm-hmm.
Anger, sometimes I think of anger as an energy source. Here's a different question. What do you think, Dave? Is all anger sin?
No.
Why not?
Well, that's true. Then God sins.
Because the text says God is angry, or like you quoted, God is angry with the wicked every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so not all anger is sin. But typically we humans, sinful fallen humans, our anger is sinful because we have the wrong motivation or the wrong goal, or we're doing it wrong according to the wrong standard. So many times there is a scripture where Paul says, "Be angry and do not sin." And so,
do not let the sun go down in your anger.
Right, and so it seems to me that Paul is saying there is such thing as a righteous anger, even for humans, not only for God. Jesus was angry and cleaned the temple, and yet he did not sin. And so God is angry in our text, and yet does not sin. But again, so coming back to this idea that something was violated, something was broken, something was wrong, when it says that God is angry with me, that anger, and I think it's a righteous anger, scripture also talks about it as wrath, that anger is based upon God's will for us being violated by us. And so it says here that I will praise you though you were angry with me. It seems a little bit counterintuitive, so that I'm going to praise God for being angry with me. I mean, that's not something that the natural man would say, but why is it that he says this? Why will you say, I will praise you, though you were angry with me?
Could you explain why would the natural man not respond in this manner?
Well, good, good question. The reason is because the natural man knows God, according to Paul in Romans chapter 1, and he suppresses the knowledge of God in unrighteousness, and so he knows that God is a God of justice and judgment, and so he doesn't want to think about the anger of God. It's not something that brings him comfort. It terrorizes him, at least. And so many times we are tempted to suppress that truth, push it down, to ignore it, to fight against it. Yes?
Just to be clear, natural man, you mean sinful man that has not been redeemed, correct?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Right, exactly. Whereas Isaiah, I think, is in this passage is speaking about someone who God has shown mercy. But the point is that mercy is tied in with anger. You were angry with me. Your anger is turned away. And you comfort me. And so that anger of God is actually a good thing because he hates sin. He hates the violation of what is right.
Oh, so God hates as well as is angry?
God hates.
Oh,
yes.
So how can God hate?
It's a very challenging question. I want to try to answer it in a short manner, and I think maybe we should develop another program to address it in more in depth. But I would say that is it not true that God hates sin? God is love. God loves what is right. God is truth. And so that which is a violation of God or God's truth is something that he hates. And so the idea that God loves and God hates are related to one another, depending on the situation, etc. So, in a sense, yeah, God is angry with the wicked and he hates their sin. And so this passage in particular is speaking concerning that he addresses the sins of his beloved and he confronts them in his anger. But that anger is not for destruction, but what does it say? Your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Now, how is it that God's anger, God's righteous anger against sin in particular, which is a violation of himself and his revealed will, how is it turned away?
Wouldn't it be pointed towards something else? Because it cannot just completely go away. God can't simply forgive someone and forget everything that happened. Justice has to be satisfied, especially when you're dealing with the holy nature of God. And if it's okay that he hates those who violate his law, violate his character, then justice has to be rendered.
So how is it rendered?
By pointing towards something else.
And what is that something else?
That would be Jesus Christ.
Okay. So either we have to bear the brunt of God's wrath, God's anger, or someone else has. So there has to be a substitute. And so the substitute actually is in Isaiah chapter 11, the person of Jesus Christ revealed in the Old Testament. And it is through that substitute, that other person, that God's wrath was poured upon, and when we look at the cross, we see the wrath of God turned toward Christ and away from the sinner. And so then the sinner is now accepted in the place of Christ. There's an exchange that occurs, and we could spend much time on that. But also notice in this passage, not only does the wrath of God, his anger is turned away, but also the Lord personally comforts the believer, the one whom the wrath has been turned away. And so when we think about the gospel, or when we think about salvation, it has the idea of comfort, God comforting us. And so if I were to ask you, David, what is your only comfort in life and in death, what would you say?
Simply put, that I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. That I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the wrath of God, the anger of God has been turned away from me because I am trusting Christ alone for salvation. And that brings great comfort both in life and in death. And so the rest of this, as a matter of fact, verse 2 and 3 speak of that, doesn't it? God is my salvation. God has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw waters from the wells of salvation. And so there, Isaiah three times speaks of that salvation that brings great comfort to the believer. And then from that point on, from verse 4 on, we see the expression of thanksgiving and praise, which he says, I will praise you. And there we actually have the content of that praise. And so we have in Jesus Christ, we have in that salvation, that comfort, knowing that God was angry with our sin and dealt with it and dealt with us. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid.
And that is our study today in the Word of God here on Thoroughly Equipped with Pastor Mike Wojtek from Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra. Along with his son David, Pastor Mike will be back in just a moment with a final thought for the week ahead. First, though, here's a reminder that you can download and print the lesson outline for each week starting on Wednesday by logging on to tefaith.org. That's tefaith.org. Follow along with the outline and keep it in a binder for future reference and study. Also, if you'd like to receive our periodic email newsletter that contains articles, upcoming events, and special offers, or if you'd like to know more about this ministry, about upcoming events, or about Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra, log on to tefaith.org. That's tefaith.org. Or call us at 626-820-9390. That's 626-820-9390. And we thank the members and friends of Rehoboth Reformed Church for their sacrificial giving in order to make this program possible. If you would like to join them in providing this blessing for others by supporting this Bible teaching program, visit our website. Lastly, we invite you to join us for worship and even more study of God's Word every Sunday morning at Rehoboth Reformed Church, located at 501 South Idaho Street, Suite 120 in La Habra, California. For more information or directions, visit our website, tefaith.org, or call us at 626-820-9390. That's 626-820-9390. Now, with a final thought for the week, here's Pastor Mike.
As we started the program with the question, how often do you get angry? The real question is not that, but rather, what do you do with your anger? Do you direct it to yourself? Do you direct it inward? Some people refer to that as stuffing down. Do you explode outward? Or do you go to God, seeking the God who is one who is righteous and holy and just and will punish sin, but is also merciful and will intervene and sovereignly take care of the problem? In other words, many times our sinful response of anger is trying to play God rather than trusting and resting and find comfort in God. So my prayer for you this week is that you will go to this passage, to Isaiah chapter 12, which is designed and able to make you wise into salvation, Paul says, and meditate in it and read it and understand what Isaiah is saying to you concerning God's wrath and anger, but also his mercy and comfort. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For you are my strength and my song, and you have become my salvation. My prayer for you is that you will draw with joy, draw waters from the wells of salvation, which I think begin with God himself.
Thank you for joining us today here on Thoroughly Equipped, Drawing Water from the Wells of Salvation, a weekly verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the Bible with Pastor Michael Wojtek from Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra, along with his son David. Next week, we'll continue looking at the Word of God. We hope you'll join us. In the meantime, you can learn more about Thoroughly Equipped by logging on to our website, tefaith.org. And if you'd like to write a note to Pastor Mike, you can email it to pastor@tefaith.org. That's pastor@tefaith.org. Remember, God is your salvation. You can trust Him and not be afraid. The Lord is your strength and your song.